All right.
So I've had the privilege of diving into Psalms, and I mentioned not that long ago that we were going to do something for the next month that we'll just call Psalm Springs. So if whatever that does in your mind, let it do it right now, and we'll clarify that as we go. Okay? Enjoy it. Psalm Springs. We live in such a beautiful place, it's not hard to kind of picture Palm Springs. But there are moments, as we have, when the smoke seems to come over, that we realize the realities that life isn't always just a walk in the park. There's so much more involved there. So as we break into Psalms, we're going to start with Psalms 1. And it's a great way, as Barbara's already read it for us, it's a great opening to the Hebrew hymnal. And it kind of prepares us and gets us set to be successful as we go through not only this hymnal, but I'm not going to go through all the Psalms, so don't worry about it this morning, but we will start with Psalm 1. But it does prepare us also in life, with what God has for us in life. I want to pray again, just that God would allow us to hear His word this morning, because I have enjoyed it so much. Like, I really have enjoyed going into Psalm 1 and kind of diving into it. Honestly, when I first started it, I was anxious about it. A little bit anxious about it. Anyway, let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word and how that. I think even in our storms and in our anxiety, you just provide peace. You provide hope and you provide love. And God, I sort of forgot when I was praying earlier to pray for our guests, and I am so excited to have Josh and Lori with us this morning, and for the way that you're working in their lives at West Shore. And God, I just pray that you would bless them. God, that you would just fill them with your spirit. Give them refreshing, as I assume they're getting a little break. And God, just give them your spirit that would raise them up and see and have hope in what you have. And a real confidence in the future that you have for them. And thank you for the church, for West Shore. And we pray that you would bless that church. That you would allow it to grow and to reach the many, many people that are moving out of the West Shore area. There's so many there. There's such a field waiting to be moved into. And so, God, I pray that you would allow that to happen as this church moves forward. So we give them to you and thank you for them. And now, God, speak to us through your word. I pray in Jesus' name. As I said, Psalm 1, I was a little bit anxious going into it, but I'm all good now. God help me rest through it. As we were praying this morning, often we have a group that prays downstairs. And if you're not a Christian, you're kind of unfamiliar with church, I'm not going to go too long, but let me tell you about prayer. It simply is getting in touch with God and allowing Him to work in our lives. And if I was up here just opening the Word, I could have lots of nice words to say. I could even have it set out in a nice outline. It could be pretty awesome intellectually, maybe, although that's limited with me. But there could be a lot of good things involved in a message. But if it didn't have God in it, it would be a waste of time. So we have people that pray downstairs. And one of the things they prayed for, as they were one of the people that was praying, prayed that I would, as I preach it and as I was studying it, that I would experience it, that I would enjoy it, that it would go through me, like I would actually learn from it, rather than just get stressed trying to get something good for you to hear this morning. So it was interesting that they prayed that because God had already answered that prayer. And so what had happened, I can literally, and I can't tell you exactly what was going on in my heart as this happened, but when I prepare for a message, I just read lots. I read lots. And so if you ever read anything, if you know I'm preaching on a certain topic and you have some stuff you want to give to me, just give it to me. Because I like to read lots about it. And as I do that, I just kind of let God direct me as to where I'm going to go. So, interesting, on Saturday, I had done a lot of reading already, and I was just kind of in it. Like, I couldn't get out of it. I just was in it, in that word. And as I told you, I think some of you heard me say before, we had to memorize Psalm 1 in Bible school. And I'm not great at memorizing, but I memorized that. So it was easier for me when I'm doing this, because it just kept going through my mind, the words of the scripture. And I'll share you a little bit of insight why I was anxious, is because when it starts, it says, blessed is the man, but then it goes on to some negative things, who does not do this, and who does not do that, and who does not do that. And I was thinking, wow, this seems so rules bound. Like, I have to do a certain thing. If I don't step up and do that thing, I'm in trouble. And I have to stop doing this, and I have to work really hard to do that. So I was a little bit anxious about that. But literally, I was lying down in my bed, and I was thinking this, going through my mind, and it was just emotion went through me. And as I went through it, it was like the Spirit, like God, through His Holy Spirit, just kind of washed through me, and there were almost tears flowing as I recognized the beauty of Christ, of Jesus, as He works through us. So as I read it, keep that in your mind, that as I went through this, God opened up a scripture that I originally was pretty anxious about, but then gave me peace. And so I believe the gift God wants for you this morning is peace. I've said this before to you in a message, just relax, and I say that to you again. Please just relax. Here we are in Psalm Springs. I've got my shirt on. I don't have my sandals on, but I was going to do that. My kids say I can progress each week. I've got 3 more weeks. By the time we're done, I'm going to be in shorts and sandals and sunglasses, maybe. I don't know. But whatever it is, relax. And let me read through the first part again. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." Let's stop there, because that's the part that made me tough. All of us have been in a situation where maybe we've come to something new. And when you come to something new, if you have someone good to guide you through it, usually they have some suggestions to make you successful or to help you to be successful. And I don't know what might come to your mind, but there's a variety of things that could happen. But in this scripture particularly, God comes and He simply wants to share some principles that would help us to be successful in life. So as you look at these sort of negative side of things, the first one says, do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, when I first read that, I thought, yeah, that's strong. Of course I wouldn't do that. That's ridiculous. Why would I walk in the counsel of the wicked? But the fact is that we do it quite often. And we don't label it as a wicked, of course. But if it's not God, then it's the other side. It's wicked. And it can happen in such subtle ways, really. Really subtle ways. Where I think you can reflect to the New Testament scripture where it says, don't be anxious in anything, but in everything make your request known to God. Instead of doing that, in our anxiety, we go to all other methods of figuring out how to work it out. And sometimes it's as simple as just pleasing ourselves with something that we really like, rather than actually going to God and committing it to Him and trusting Him, and then discovering that actually He has something far better for us that He wants to provide for you. So don't go to the counsel of the wicked, He says, first of all. This is how He opens the Psalms. And they would sing this. I don't know what the tune would sound like, but they would sing it. Don't go to the counsel of the wicked. Or stand in the way of sinners. And as you see the three negatives coming up, you'll see how they're intended to get a little more intense each time. So the first one, you're just kind of hearing things. And we know in our society we hear all sorts of things. And it's hard for us to weed out what is right and what is wrong. But as you'll see later in this passage, there is an answer to that. There is a way. So now we go through the counsel, we're trying to figure it out, but if we start to give in to some of the counsel, then pretty soon we find ourselves literally almost standing in the way of those who are not following Jesus. Because we've listened to their counsel, right? So now we're in their way. Not standing and stopping them from doing what they're doing, that's not the standing in the way part, but actually in their way walking. Alright? So we're standing in their way. The third one. Or sit in the seat of mockers. And now we've got just one step farther where we're actually getting a little bit firmer. We're not just listening and taking some advice from people who we shouldn't be, or choosing things that we shouldn't be. We're not just standing in their way, sort of, yeah, I'm kind of with them, I'm walking with them. But now we're firmly sitting in their seat. And the idea they get from the Hebrews was, as you sit, almost like if someone has a seat, and their seat represents them when they sit in it. It's like you've taken that seat now, and you've sat where they sat, and you're in it. And so we've come 3 degrees into it, where we're actually living it out now. It's who we are. And so when God intended this unknown author to write this song or this song, he was trying to start it all off by saying, guys, don't just listen to, and I guess for them it would be all the other nations and all the other gods that were there and all the other idols that they could worship. Don't listen to them. Don't go that way, even though it seems right. Because we know that as we listen to the council, it's called the council of the wicked here, but the council of those who are not centered on Christ and on his word, it's easy for us to think, that's okay, that sounds good, and I should do that. And then we don't even ask God. We do it. And then we find some success, whatever that success is. But as we'll find later in the scriptures, that success is very fleeting. It flows away. So we have those 3 degrees that he gives us right at the beginning. And they're negative, and they did cause me anxiety. But as God worked in my life, I realized that it was out of love that he gave me those. And it wasn't out of, if you do this or don't do this, then you're in trouble. I'm going to squash you. It wasn't that at all. It was more like, this is a problem. And I've identified it. And it's very clear, but you don't see it all the time. So let me help you. Don't listen to that counsel. Don't stand in that way. And don't sit there and be firm in it. Because you may not see that coming, but that's where you end up. You end up sitting in it. And it's not always this extreme, wicked counsel that we might think. It can be very basic, very subtle, very deceptive. And so we require something to happen in our lives to, in a sense, wake us up. Refresh us. Make something new. And so he goes from these 3 negatives and he jumps into something beautiful. Here we have a beautiful picture now. It says in verse 2, but his delight, or our delight, should be in the law of the Lord. And on this law, we should meditate day and night. And it's interesting because that's kind of what I went through, right? I was going through this thing, this scripture I had memorized, and it just kept going through my mind. Just kept going through my mind, even though it wasn't like I decided, yes, I need to do this. I need to meditate on God's word. And I just worked hard on it, and I pushed myself to do it. No, it wasn't that at all. It was actually a gift from God. And it just welled up within me. There was a delight to do it. And those things we delight, we really want to be with. I watched husbands and wives when they've been apart for a long time, or boyfriends and girlfriends when they've been apart for even a short time, and they come back together, and they're just so excited to see each other. And they want to be close. And they want to stay with each other. Well, it's like that, but way more. Way more. Where you just long and delight to be in God's word. And if you're listening to me this morning, you're saying, well, how is that possible? I don't have that. Or maybe you're saying, yeah, that's awesome. That's exactly what I have. Well, it's only possible as the Spirit moves in and through us. That's the only way. So he asks us to delight in the law of the Lord, which simply is his word. In that, at that time when it was written, it would have been Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And they call it the law. But it's God's word. It's his word. Just meditate and enjoy his delight in his word. It says here, we will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. So I was reading that, and I was thinking, okay, that sounds really good. That sounds good, right? It sounds good. Why not? I'd love to, you know, I'm holding my water here because I need that too, but I would love to be just a tree by the water and receiving all I need. And so the picture that the Hebrew people would have as they read that part, they are very familiar with the way irrigation systems are set up. And they're strategically set up to provide for people, to provide for their fields, to provide for everything they need to sustain life. So they're familiar with that sort of intricate design that's put forward in order to keep life going. So when they read this, they're thinking about that intricate design. But the master of it and the maker of it is God. And so he's providing for each of you. Like I can confidently say for every one of us here, God is providing this irrigation system of life. And it comes in such a variety of ways. It comes through the people that you're sitting with. It maybe might come from up front here, but not always. That's just really unique, because it's only once a week I'm here saying something, or someone is here saying something. Or it comes through a Bible study during the week. It could come through you sitting down and watching a movie where God decided that's where he was going to send his spirit, right, to speak to you. And it might not even be a Christian movie, but it's just something he chose. The irrigation system is complicated and intricate, and he uses every part of it to reach to your roots and draw them down really deep so that you can be firmly planted in his word. Psalm 1, right? Psalm 1. And it's not something that's rushed and happens quickly, but it's always there, and we don't always see it. And maybe that's why he started with the 3 degrees that we go through, because we get so caught up in life doing the things that we're doing, and we fall into these traps, and we go here and there. It's, I do it all the time, and I listen to the wrong thing, and then God gets my attention, and he pulls me back. Well, that's there, but God has given us his irrigation system that will allow us to come back to him simply. And it's actually feeding into us. It's just that we don't see it. We don't see it. And we need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see it, to know that he's longing to give us life. And for those of you who are not even in a relationship with God this morning and you're just here listening, well, he is actually knocking at the door of your heart right now. And he has the system all set up for you. You just have to follow in his ways. You really do. And he will provide it. It says, our fruit will be yielded in season. This is not, again, this is not going to come according to the counsel of the wicked. It's not going to come as we stand in the way of sinners or in the seat of mockers. We're not going to discover all that there. So that's why he gave us that. But we're going to discover it as we are planted by God. And the idea was, even in the scripture, when you look at the Hebrew, was not only were we planted there, but we were actually transplanted. So we are born in sin. We're born away from God, separate from God. And we need to be brought into relationship with him. But we need to be transplanted in a place where he will then be allowed to work in our lives and raise us up and bring those roots down and make us strong and bring that fruit in season. And what is that fruit? You're like, well, what's that about? Well, it could be such a variety of things, right? And we have the fruit of the Spirit where we look in the New Testament, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and on. But let's take it in the analogy of the tree. The fruit could be simply the shade of the leaves. How many people do we need to sometimes just provide shade for? Right? How many times do we just need shade on a hot summer's day? Or when we're just overwhelmed with life and we need the shade of God's almighty arm as he's provided it for us? Or does the fruit come particularly for that person that needs that fruit, whatever type of fruit it is? Or does a branch simply need to be cut away even? Or does it fall off? Or at times are the leaves fallen and there's barrenness? God provides in his time, it says. He will give us the fruit in season when we need it. And when we need to be in a situation where we're going through tough times, he will allow that to happen as well. It says our leaf does not wither. And the idea, of course, of that is simply that we will always have sustaining life as we allow God to work in our lives in this way. Because he provides the irrigation system for us. And then it goes on to the wicked. Again, this can be harsh. It can feel really harsh, but let's go through it and let's get an idea what God might be saying here. It says, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. And so again, the picture there, their farm, a lot of farming going on there, and the idea of the wheat, throwing the wheat into the air, I guess, and the seeds fall and the good stuff falls, but the chaff literally gets blown away by the wind, and it actually cleans it. And then they can use what's good that's left. And so that he's giving an analogy that the wicked are like this chaff. They literally just get blown away. Now, that's in full contrast to what we read in the beginning. Now, we talked about this idea of the wicked being the ones that are giving counsel, that we're going to stand with, and that we're going to sit with. And these people, and us, I guess, too, as we've fallen into the trap of listening to some of these counsel, we feel like we're being firmly planted as we make those choices. We think our roots are going down, that we're making a lot of money, or that we're making a lot of friends, or that we've gained a lot of toys, or that we're doing well in our workplace. All of this type of stuff. But really, we're rootless. And when the wind comes, we just blow away like chaff. We thought those were roots, but they really weren't. They're useless. I mean, I'm not saying don't be successful in life. I'm not saying that, but those are not your roots. Those are not the things that are going to make you a firm foundation. It is when you allow God to direct your life. He can give you those other things too, grant if he wants to. That's fully up to God, right? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But don't be fooled by all this other counsel to think that you might have roots when all along you're just chaff that's going to blow away. That's a harsh teaching. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. It's a sad story. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. There is consequence to our decisions, and that's really where I kind of want to leave you this morning. It's true that God does the work, and that as we acknowledge things and put them in his hands, he will give us the irrigation system around us, the people around us, the spoken word around us, the Holy Spirit running through us to give us the ability to live the way he's called us to, because outside of that, we cannot. It's impossible. So he will do that. He will provide that for us. But there is an element where we actually, in our own wills, have to decide. We must decide. A lot of you have done that. And you're not finished deciding, by the way. If you've chosen Jesus into your life, there's more decisions to make. Because constantly, there will be the counsel of the wicked. Constantly, there will be that temptation to fly and to fall into that. And so you will be required to make a decision. But as you make the decision, you're not the one doing the work. God goes forward and he just quickly provides his water of refreshing. Comes up within you. And allows you to fulfill what he's called you to do. Right? What a beautiful teaching that's so strongly preached and put forward in this scripture, but also in the New Testament over and over again. So this morning, we're going to leave it at that with Psalm 1. I'm going to carry on with Psalm 2, 3, and 4 in the next 3 weeks. But let me challenge you with something regarding this. In the fall, we're going to be running, partway through September, starting a program called Alpha. And the Alpha program might be for you. We've decided that as a church, and I know for some of you it's actually a little awkward, this decision we've made, but we've decided that we would actually not run our regular programs, and there may be a couple things that still run, but for the most part, not run our Bible studies and all of that, and concentrate on Alpha. Now, the reason for that is for a variety of things, but we'll just name a couple of them. One is that as we go through Alpha, Alpha is a program that is designed to teach people about Jesus and to bring them into relationship with him if they're interested. It involves teaching, involves small groups, and involves a meal. So the meal often works well for college and university students, so let's get on them. And it can work for families too. And you'll see as you look into it on the website, the things that there's things that are provided for families and things like that as we're involved. But as we get involved, if you're a Christian, it gives you an opportunity maybe to invite somebody or people that you would like to introduce to Christ. Now, if that causes anxiety to grow up within you, well, that's understandable. But again, it's kind of like this scripture here. God's called us to take a step, and then he'll do it for you. Don't be surprised when he just allows someone into your life that wants to be a part of this, or that you think could be a part of this, and you think, no, wait, that'll never work, because we have our own ideas, right? And we're listening to other counsel. Let me remind you, put your counsel based on God, not on what you think. You know, there's so many areas where I could just go on a whole new sermon right now, but I will not. But there's so many areas that we could do that with. But in Alpha, be willing to let God open it up. But the other thing is, Alpha is designed just for us to come even. Because you may need to just come and get familiar with the program and just say, I just want to see it. I just want to see what it's about. And maybe God is going to teach you through it too. Or maybe you just want to be more confident with it before you actually invite someone else to come to something like that. That's awesome too. And then it allows you to learn about it and maybe be part of a leadership even in the future. If we do it in a different way, or there are different Alpha programs that you can run. So there's a variety of things you can do. But the other area that will challenge us in is simply to pray and to put it before God and to see what He wants to do. So I wanted to put that forward to you. And now let's end our message with something very practical. Let me read it through one more time, and then let's pray together. Let's commit to God the things that we're dealing with, as if you're a Christian here this morning. And then at the very end, I will give you an opportunity to open up the doors for God to start to allow you to enjoy His irrigation system, as it were, or His life-giving Spirit, in maybe a more practical way to say it, that comes in such a variety of ways. In Psalm 1 it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And let's just say person for the sake of, because the Hebrews were so male-based in their scriptures. Blessed is the person. Blessed are we who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But our delight is in the law of the Lord. And on His law we meditate day and night. We will be like trees planted by streams of water, which yields our fruit in season, so that whatever is going on around us, God will use us, maybe to help others. Whose leaf does not wither, whatever we do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. God, thank you so much for your word, for how it challenges us, but how it just provides for us and refreshes us and allows us to enjoy your filling. So God, this morning we come before you knowing that there are areas in our life that we've already chosen to follow counsel that we know wasn't really possibly what you want, or maybe we're not sure if it's what you want. And so God, now we want to commit it to you and ask that you would direct us in your ways. And God, that you would help us to delight in your word, that your Spirit would rise up within us as we surrender ourselves to you, to enjoy your word. Because in your word, we know we can find life. And your word is based on your Son, Jesus. And in Jesus, we can find life. In the Holy Spirit, we can find life. God, I pray that you would take those things that we share with you this morning, that you would direct them in your ways, so that we would be like trees planted in streams of water, living water. And God, I know that there's some that don't know you this morning, so we just want to say a prayer together. God, I know it's very simple, but we'll just say it like this. Dear Jesus, I just pray that you would take my life. I know that I have chosen to follow counsel that's not good, and I have sinned. And so I ask forgiveness of that, and I pray that you would come and be with me and fill me and be my Savior. I pray in Jesus' name.